Genesis is not good for man to be alone. Loneliness is not something we were created for. I got some kind of special effects here on my voice. Maybe we could just feel like I'm talking from the mountaintop. Ooh, yes. Okay. He created us to have relationships with other people. He did not create us to be alone. And so he is very interested in our relationships with other people. And in the book of Proverbs, it gives a lot of advice on different topics. And one of the topics that comes up is friends and neighbors, relationships, and of course marriage and children, etc. But we're going to just focus on relationships here, dealing with friendship probably, and companions, people that you have close to you, the ones that are your closest to, and developing those relationships. Even Jesus, when he was here on earth, he had relationships with people. In fact, he was very much people-oriented. He wasn't task-oriented, he was people-oriented. And he focused on his disciples and spent the majority of his time with them. And we find in John chapter 15, verse 15 and 16, Jesus says this: I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. You are now you are, and his friends here, he mentions here that he confides in them. There's a closeness that is he's talking about in relationships. So we find it in the Bible, it talks about these relationships. In our society, there's a lot of loneliness. A lot of broken relationships, divorces. In fact, there are many young people that don't want to get married because just the fact of seeing so many divorces and what it's caused and how what it's felt like, they just don't want to go there. So they hold themselves back from getting into committed relationships and settle for something less. Now, in the book of Proverbs, we see a couple things. And one of the things that we see is that if you're going to have friends in your life, you need to choose well. And there are choices that we make that are wise choices, and there's choices that we make that are foolish choices. And choosing wisely, as far as friendship is concerned, there are qualities that you want to avoid in a friend. These people you do not want to have as a close friend. So Scripture says, choose your friends well. There's a story that I read about a guy, you probably heard of him if you've been around a while, named Don Johnson. Remember that that show that he did, Miami? Well, in the 70s, his life was a mess. And he went through a 10-year period of time where he's very self-destructive, where he was involved in drugs, cocaine, alcohol. He got in several car wrecks, destroyed his cars. And later he joined AA and went to the classes there and became clean from his addictions in 1988, or 1983, I should say. And then he was asked, do you have any regrets? And this is what he said: yes, I regret wasting lots of time with a bunch of jerks that I wish I hadn't spent 10 minutes with now, let alone 10 years. He spent his life with people that were a regret. And you can have regrets about the relationships you have and the people that you've chosen to let into your life. God wants you to have good relationships, and he wants you to have true friends, friendships that are life-giving. So what kind of friendships do you have? And what are you looking for when you're looking for a friend, for somebody to develop a relationship with? Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 12:26, it says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully. And the second part of that verse says, the way of the wicked causes others to go astray. Another way to put this is found in 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, do not be fooled. Bad companions ruin good character. People in your life will influence you for good or for bad. It'll make your life better or worse. So it's important that you choose wisely the people that you have. Now, here's some people that you don't want to have close friendships with, according to the book of Proverbs. The first one is someone who is a hothead. Someone who is a hothead. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man or woman. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Now, they're not talking about losing your temper every once in a while. Notice it says a hot-tempered man. That's the description of the person. That's who they are. If there's one thing that comes out that describes them, it's a hothead. Easily angered. They get angry easily. They just got a trigger, trigger. They're always angry. That's just typical of them. You say, well, what? Give me a description of them. Anger. Those are the kind of friendships that you have with them are not wise. Because a person who is easily angered, who's a hothead, is basically immature, lacks self-discipline, is probably very selfish, and they can turn on anybody because that's what they do. They react to everything. It's all about them. And so their temper is always right at the surface. It's easy to anger them. In fact, the Bible talks about love, and it says love is not easily angered. And so these people are not even loving, according to Scripture. And so what you'll find is that you'll start to become like them. They'll rub off on you. And you'll see that the anger is, you have to make excuses after a while. You know that? You have to make excuses for people after a while if you're going to hang out with them. You got to say, well, I understand why they're angry. If I was them, I would be angry too. And, you know, and then you start to take their cause. Pretty soon, you start to take on the characteristics of that person who's an angry person. And they get angry first, and then they think later. E. McKenzie says this, some people make enemies instead of friends because it's less trouble. You know, it takes effort to have friends. Making enemies is just be yourself. If you're a hothead, just be yourself. Second, someone who has a problem with authority. This is another person that you don't want to have close relationships with. Someone who has a problem with authority. Proverbs 24, verses 21 and 22. Someone who has a says, my child, fear the Lord and the king. Don't associate with rebels, for disaster will hit them suddenly. Who knows what punishment will come from the Lord and the king? We've kind of glamorized the rebel in our society. Many times they're the hero of the story. Go against the grain, go against the flow. You know, they're fighting against all odds. Everybody's against them. They're going to rebel against the status quo. And it's seen to be admirable. But a person who's a rebel really, in reality, now those are stories, those are movies, and they're not real. But a real rebel is a person who just can't get along with people. Doesn't like to be told what to do. They have a hard time adjusting with any structure. They don't want to have to. They want to be the exception. It's very immature. See, the problem is if you can't relate to authority in a healthy way, you're going to have problems. Well, why? Well, because here's the thing. I don't care what position in life you have. You always have somebody who has authority over you. Somebody you have to answer to. And if you can't relate to authority, you won't be able to succeed in life. Whether it be your parents, whether it be your teacher, whether it be your boss, whether it be, you know, police, you have to deal with authority. It's amazing to me in our society how people have a problem with authority. Even the police. Now, I had a time where once, just not too long ago, I was picking up my daughter at school. And they had these ridiculous signs. There it is. It's coming out now. It's coming out. They have the signs say no parking, right? Right along the street there. But I wasn't really parking. I was quickly picking somebody up. And there was a policeman there in the center area watching the traffic and everything. And as soon as I stopped, I was, get here, get, come on, come on, get in the car, you get in the... Oh, no, I'm caught. No, I could have gone, that's not fair. I saw a lot of people do this before you got here. Now you're going after me. What's the deal here with this? You know, and just, you know, go off on them, which would have been really wise. Or just say, you know, yes, I was guilty, I'm sorry, and I apologize, and I'm waiting for a ticket. It's my fault. I shouldn't have done that. That was a dumb thing to do, and I did it. I should take the consequences for it. Admit that I'm wrong. Submit to the authority. But those that who have a problem with authority will always be fighting against, always will never, they'll never succeed. Who wants to have somebody with, in a relationship with them, where you have to manage somebody, where you have to be an authority figure, and the person is always fighting you? These people will not advance anywhere. They don't make friends of people in authority, therefore they don't succeed. And Satan was a rebel. And it says here that who knows what punishment will come. You want to be a rebel, you'll be punished. Either from the Lord or from the civil authorities. You know, Scripture talks to us as Christians. We're to obey the authorities. That's part of being a Christian. So Satan rebelled, and he has no place in heaven. And he's looking forward to, not with anticipation, not with desire, but he's going to face punishment for his rebellion. So don't pick a person who has a problem with authority. That is not the quality of friendship that you want to have. They'll rub off on you, and you'll find yourself having a problem with authority. Next, someone who is a gossip. Someone who's a gossip. Proverbs 11:13. A gossip tells everything, but a true friend will keep a secret. See, trust is kind of the foundation for relationships. And you just can't trust a gossip. You may think you're on the inside crowd. You get all the dope on things, the scoop on things, because this person tells everything about everybody. And you're thinking on the in crowd. But just wait. It's a matter of time before you're on the outside looking in, and you're the one that's being talked about. That's what you have to look forward to if you have a friend who's a gossip. They don't have any real allegiance to anybody but themselves. Now, what is their motivation for telling these things? Who knows? It could be so many different things. They want to feel important. They want to have people interested in them because they have the information that everybody is kind of curious about. Because when we talked about this before, gossip is like one of those tasty morsels, it says. They taste good, but when they go down, they're bitter. This is not a person that will make a quality friend. They can't be a quality friend. Because gossip will cause harm, it'll cause hurt, and you'll find yourself betrayed. A true friend is the greatest of all blessings, and the one that we take the least care of all to acquire. So take care of the people that you choose to include in your life. See, as a Christian, you could have the misguided thought that you should be friends with everybody. Well, you can be an acquaintance of everybody. You can have a superficial relationship with everybody. But here's the thing. To have a quality relationship with somebody, you have to have a quality person. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't have a quality relationship with somebody who's not of a quality character. The relationship will be limited. It can't be otherwise. Quality friendships have certain characteristics. Superficial relationships have other characteristics. So when we're talking about choosing your friends, we're not talking about casual or superficial relationships. We should have a warm relationship with everybody as much as we can. But sometimes the character of the person will not allow us to go very far in that relationship. And to go far in that relationship will be choosing one of the people that will ruin you and cause damage and will never come to a place where it's a quality relationship. So if a person is a hothead and they don't want to change, guess where this relationship is going? Nowhere. A person in your life is a gossip. Guess where that relationship is going? Nowhere. A person who has a problem with authority, guess where that relationship is going? Nowhere. Because you can't have a relationship that God wants you to have with that person. Because the people that you associate with and want to be close friends, they'll want to include you in the things that they do. The things that they are. If a person is a drug addict, they want you to take drugs. Some of you have drugs in your past. Have you noticed that? If you're the one that doesn't want to take drugs, they don't really want you around. They want you to be in what they're doing. Does this make sense? So it's misguided to say a Christian should be friends with everybody. Well, to a certain extent, yes. But to real friendship, quality of friendship that we're talking about this morning, that's not possible. There's only certain things I can share in because we're going a different direction. The Bible says, unless two be agreed, how can they walk together? If I believe my life should go this direction, another person says, my life should go this direction. Let's walk together. Not possible. So when we talked about Proverbs, you're making choices in your life. You're making choices about direction of your life. It talks about paths. It talks about the way. And you're choosing direction in your life. And there'll be people who can come along with you, and there'll be people who can't because they don't want to and they choose not to. So when we're talking about choosing friends, we're talking about people who are going to go on along on the same path with you, who have character, that enables you to have a friendship of a quality that would be good. Now, that presupposes here that you're one of those people who can be a friend. That you have a character and a quality that would be somebody that would say, hey, I want to be their friend. So, if you're going to have friends, you need to be a person who can be a friend. Does this make sense? So if you're going to have friends in your life, I want to have friends in my life, well then you need to first of all look at yourself and say, what kind of friend would I be? What kind of friend am I? And there's certain qualities that, and there's a lot of them in the book, so we're not going to cover all of them in the scripture, but we're going to cover a few this morning, some principles of having friendship. And one of the major principles of being a friend is that you have to be a friend worth having to have friends. So, how can I be a better friend? First, be committed to the friendship. Be committed to the friendship. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Proverbs 17:17. A friend is loyal. In other words, there's a commitment. If you're loyal to a team, I'm loyal to the 49ers. It hurts to be loyal to the 49ers. It hurts more to be loyal to the Raiders. But anyhow, I'm sorry, just speaking the truth in love here. Loyalty has to do with commitment. Has to do with commitment. And a friend is loyal to that person. They've made a commitment to that person to be with them, to stand by them, to support that friendship. David and Jonathan made that kind of commitment. They actually had a covenant that they wrote, that they pledged themselves before God even, that we will be friends. The friendship that they had was not a casual thing where we're in and out, depending on how we feel about it. They were committed to these, to each other. So if you're going to have a friendship that you, it is a quality friendship, you have to have a commitment to that friendship. Without commitment, nothing can be built. It'll be a superficial friendship. It'll be, and there's nothing wrong with superficial friendships as far as that's concerned. But if all your friendships are superficial, now that's bad. That's not good. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So, yeah, or sister. Thank you very much. Whenever I see using the male designation here, I'm also including female. Okay. Thank you much. So, it says, a man of many companions. Again, is it wrong to have many companions? Not really. But it's impossible to have a lot of close friends. Why? Because it takes time. And you can't do it. Yeah, I have 7,000 really close friends on Facebook. I don't think so. You don't know what close is then. It's just not possible. You can have a lot of acquaintances. You can have had, friends that are, you know, of a certain level. See, there are certain levels of friendships. There's just people who you know, their name, and you can say, hi, how's the weather? What you doing today? Blah, blah, blah. Good to see you. Bye-bye. You know, your acquaintances, you're friendly with them, and you know them, and you like them. Then there are people that you work with, that may be acquaintances, but maybe a little bit a different level where you share more of your life with them because you spend time with them. Or people you play with people you do things with can be a different level. Sometimes it could be your neighbor. Sometimes it could be a friend that you grew up with in school, etc., etc. Then there are the close friends. Now, these are people that take commitment. Close friends take commitment. You have to have commitment. And you can only have so many close friends. In fact, it's better to have a few close friends and a lot of acquaintances than to have a lot of acquaintances and no close friends. So what do you want to spend your time doing? Where do you want to spend your time? You have to make those choices. Because I can spend my time with a lot of people and just no connection, really. But it's not good for me. At least as far as the Bible's concerned. It's not good for me. Because I will really be basically alone. I know a lot of people, but nobody really knows me. A friend loves at all time, Proverbs 17:17, and a brother is born for adversity. Here's a test of friendship. A friend who loves at all times. How do you handle your friend's success? When they're successful and you're not. When they have more blessings materially than you do, can you still be close friends? Some people, that's not possible anymore. If they become more successful, they have more things, they have a different income level, etc., then you can no longer be close to them. So what is the quality of your friendship? What is it based on? What is it built on? Are you secretly competing with them? Or are you jealous or envious or any of those things? That will destroy the friendship. And you're not really loyal to them. You're loyal to something else. Because a friend is a friend is a friend at all times. They don't move on. Sometimes that happens. You thought you had a friend, solid, and you found out that wasn't so. So what do? You go, well, that wasn't that level of friendship, and it just wasn't possible with them. That's sad. I grieve over that. See, the thing is, if I'm able to rejoice, it's easier sometimes to grieve with somebody and say, oh, that's awful, you lost your job. Oh, you got demoted and you have less money than I do. Oh. Yeah, you can grieve with them and you can feel sorry for them, pity them or whatever. But a person who's succeeding, they do better than you. It really shows you what your friendship's about and what you're about. So you need to look at that. Am I the kind of friend that can be committed, who can rejoice with the friends that I have on their success, on the blessings they have? You know, I find it's, you know, two girls growing up, good friendship, one gets married, one doesn't. Is that friendship going to survive? One gets married, has two children. One gets married, can't have children. Are they going to be friends? Two guys. One has a great career. Another one has a job they hate. Are they going to be friends? Can they be friends? You need to pick people that you can be committed to because you love them and not all the things that are around them. Next, be someone who can keep a confidence. Be someone who can keep a confidence. That we talked about the gossip earlier. Here's the opposite of that. You are able to keep a confidence. Proverbs 17:9. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. You know, they have in bookstores now a new category, the kiss and tell books. I made that up. But there are a lot of those books. Right? You got some guy in politics, and then 2 years after being out of the administration, he has a book that tells the real story how he felt about the guy. All those news conferences he had were a lie. Here's how I really felt about him, and here's who he really was. Or some person gets hired by a celebrity and they signed a, you know, agreement not to say anything, but they get around it and they're going to have a book that's out or a movie or whatever. Those people hurt. That you thought they were your friends and they're not. People who are friends keep a confidence. They watch out for a person's reputation. They're concerned about that. They don't want to see something that would be damaged to them. They don't broadcast it. They go to the person instead to deal with things rather than telling everybody about things. There were these three religious leaders that were fishing, trying to develop a relationship, a deeper relationship. And one of them suggested that they share one of the area of their life, that a sin in their life that they struggle with. And so they can build a deeper bond in knowing each other and being close. So they said, okay, let's share. And the first guy said, well, my problem is greed. I have a love for and a lust for money. Well, the second guy said, well, you know what? My problem is lust, period. I have a problem looking at women, and I have to struggle with that. The third said, well, I have to confess, I have a problem with gossip. And I can't wait to get out of here and tell everybody. So if you're going to be a person who have friends, you got to be a person who can hold your tongue and not share things that should not be shared. Because sooner or later, it comes back. Sooner or later, it'll get out that you're the one that did it. And then you got a problem. Be someone who builds up your friend. Be someone who builds up your friend. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Friends shape friends. Most of the time we're unaware of our influence on other people. They don't tell us. In fact, they may not even realize it, the influence that you or I might have on their life. But we all have some influence on people, and we shape each other. And so one of the things that if you have a friend, is a friend that is a person who doesn't tear you down but builds you up. It's easy to tear down. Have you noticed that? It's easy to tear down and it's difficult to build up. It's harder work to build up than it is to tear down. I found that to be the case. Just in a building project, it takes a long time to build something. But to tear it down, that's easy. Same with relationships. It's easy to tear down relationships. It's easy to tear down people, but it's harder to build them up. In fact, one of the things I think is a good, at least I believe this is true. If you're going to have someone who has criticism, ask yourself, but first of all, do they love me? Because there are some people who they think it's good just to criticize, to point out all your flaws. They have desired to straighten everybody out. But they don't really love you. In fact, sometimes underneath the surface is anger. And the critical spirit that comes out is a hostile spirit. that kind of relationship, have as few of those as you possibly can, because that's destructive. Instead, you want to find people in your life who bring healing, who help, who strengthen, who build up. A good friend is constructive. If they have criticism, they do it in a way that it doesn't feel like it's an attack. They do it in a way that you realize that they are interested in you. And they see that this is something in your life that would be harmful to you, hurtful to you, and therefore they have to bring it up and have to help you shape those things out of your life. When you bring a person into your life, when you open up to them and they open up to you, it is a, what's the word I want to use? It's very serious, because a lot of damage could be done. So it's something that you want to be very cautious with and be careful with, because people are valuable. People are very valuable. They're so valuable, you know, that Jesus gave his life for them. He gave his life for us. And so he values people, and they are precious. So we want to be careful in how we deal with them, so that we are more constructive than destructive. And if you really want to know who your friends are, just make a mistake. I swear, there's some people you make a mistake and they come up from out of nowhere. Hey, you shouldn't have did. Thank you so much. Like, that was hard to do, wasn't it? To just criticize. So if you have a person who's very critical, who's always tearing you down, that person's probably not a friend worth keeping. That friendship should be limited. It can go only so far. Because you can't build something. It's always going to be torn down. Next, be someone who can speak the truth when needed. This ties into the one before. Proverbs 24:26 says this, giving an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. Proverbs 27 verses 5 and 6. A truly good friend will openly correct you. You can trust a friend who corrects you, but kisses from an enemy are nothing but lies. In other words, there are some people who are willing to tell you the truth about something. And they're not there to hurt you or harm you, but they're there to speak the truth that no one will speak. See, until you know what the truth is, you can't change. Until you know what the truth is, you can't move forward in your life. And you're going, why does this always happen? Why can't I progress? How come I can't move forward in my life? Well, there's some areas in your life that have to be dealt with, and no one will tell you about them. And you're oblivious. You're blind to them. If you have a really good friend, they'll be willing to tell you the truth. One of the things you should look for in a friend is someone who can take the truth. Because if someone's so sensitive they can't hear anything, then there's probably nowhere this can go either. You guys are awful quiet. I'm feeling kind of hurt. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I hope this is speaking to you. Now, there's some things you want to learn about how to speak the truth to someone. First of all, here's the thing, and you see this pattern in the scripture. First of all, you compliment in public, but you correct in private. Another thing is that when you are going to correct somebody, you make sure that there's more positive things that you say up front before you go to the things that are critical or correcting. You see that in the scripture where Jesus said, you do this, but this one thing I have against you. He said all the positive things, and then he had this one thing against them. But if all you do is go, I wanted to tell you something. It's something that's really on my heart, you know, because I love you. You are sure a jerk, and blah, 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 blah. Not going to be received too well. Usually, what do you mean I'm a jerk? You know, defending yourself. Here's another thing, the proper timing. Tact is very important. You know, people with no tact say the wrong thing at the wrong time. It's important to have the right time when you say things. Just because it came into your mind doesn't mean you want to say it right then. You want to choose the time when you say things. So when you correct people, make sure they're not down, discouraged. It's not the time to bring up these things. Don't kick them when they're down. That's the time to be encouraging. And also, you have to prove to them that you're willing to receive criticism. You're able to receive the truth too. It's not all one way. You know, if you have a friendship where there's one person that's always able to do this, speak the truth, but they won't hear anything from you, that's not a good person to have that kind of relationship with. Okay? All right. Move on to the last one. A good friend is someone who is sensitive to the needs of your friend. Sensitive to the needs of your friend. Here's some interesting verses. Proverbs 27:14 says, "He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse to him." Now, what is he talking about there? Well, there are some people, because you know your friend, you don't go ringing the doorbell at 7 in the morning because they're not a morning person. And you come up all cheerful, "Let's get going, come on, let..." The person will say, "What are you doing in my house? Get out of my house. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see anybody at this time in the morning." There's some people that you find that they're so insensitive to the needs or the person that they're friends with, they don't realize there are certain things about them that you don't do. It bothers them. You understand them. You've grown to know them. And so you don't take advantage of them, or you don't treat them or take them for granted. Here's another one. Do not visit too often, or they will get tired of it and start hating you. I remember watching Andy of Mayberry. They had one of those guys that just you couldn't get rid of. After a while, they're going, "Oh no, here he comes. He's going to stay." They run away. They overstayed their welcome. So you want to, if you're a good friend, you don't want to take advantage of the friendship. That means too, like for instance, if something you've done has hurt your friend, you don't go say, "Oh, they're my friend. They know that I didn't mean it." No, you go over and say, "I'm sorry. I apologize. I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. Could you forgive me?" You don't take it for granted that they'll just understand. They just know. You treat them with respect. Be sensitive to the needs of your friend. Be able to be a person that able to build up your friend. Be a friend who's able to tell the truth and listen to the truth. Be a friend that's committed to the friendship. These are qualities that you have to have and qualities you want to look for in a friend. So they're quality friendships. They are valuable. To have a friend like that is a treasure. And you don't want to get rid of that easily. Now, in our society, here's something that you have to realize. Again, having friendship and a relationship with someone takes time. You have to spend time with your friends, with your relationships. Our society is very much about the things you do. It's very much about the accomplishments that you make. It's not about the relationships you build. So everyone is very, very busy, but not with people or people things. People are very busy with the activities and the tasks of their life. So they wonder why they feel lonely, why they don't feel like they connect with anybody. It's because they are too busy. Now, here we have a group of people in this auditorium, and some of you won't be here in a few years because you've never developed any friendships. You never took the time to have friendships with people. And it's just a matter of time before you won't be here. That's probably one of the number one reasons why people leave a church and go to another church, because they have no relationships with anybody. After a while, you go, why should I come? But that's partly your responsibility. If you're a believer, you're to build relationships. That's one of the things you're to do. That means you have to make time commitments. That means you have to make plans. That means you have to cut back on your busyness so you can do the things that will be valuable in your life. When I was young, I felt it was really important to be doing a lot of things. Being busy meant I was important. But after a while, I thought, being busy means I'm tired. Means I don't know anybody. I'm not close to anybody. I'm too busy. And nobody's impressed anyhow. Yeah, well, got a call. I got to take, excuse me, busy man. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Yeah, so, excuse me, I got another call. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'm so impressed with him. He's got so many calls he has to answer. Not impressed. They're not impressed by your business. So get rid of it. Put things aside that aren't important. Things that, you know, just look at your time. What do I spend my time doing? Have you ever done that? Just kind of mapped out your days, mapped out your week. What do I do with my time? How do I spend my time? Because see, the time that you have is a limited quantity. Once the time is gone, you can't get it back. Once Don Johnson spent those 10 years, he couldn't get them back. He regretted it. You only have so much time. You say, well, I only have so much money. Well, that's not true, because you always can get more money. They print it up all the time. You always can get more money. You lose it, you can get more. You waste the time, you can't get it back. It's gone. So you have to manage your time well in order to have the quality friendships that you want to have. And let me tell you, a few years down the road, you'll go, that was a wise decision that I made, developing friendships. Because they don't come easy sometimes. I mean, you know. It's funny how we tend to make decisions based on income, activities, things that, you know, we enjoy doing in and of themselves, that we can do all by ourselves. But the relationships that we have, we don't tend to value them that much. And we'll sacrifice them for so many different things. And they don't come that easy. So I encourage you, be wise and develop the relationships with people around you. Build those friendships. Build those connections with people. It'll be a blessing to your life. And it really determines what kind of Christian you are. Because Christianity is not about obeying the rules. It's about loving people. Those that are more mature are the ones that know how to love people. Those that are not mature don't know how to love people. They haven't grown yet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the insight that you give us on life. How often we neglect them. How often we think we know better. Lord, help us to value the insights we have in your word that you've spoken, that you've left for us so that we might know what life is about and how to live it. And I know, Lord, that one of the first things, the most important things, that we have a friendship with you, a relationship with you. From that relationship springs all others. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to take these things seriously so that we might truly have the life that we always wanted, the beautiful life that you have made for us. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and we thank you again, Lord, for your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.